time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with host Dana Rodriguez, accompanied by technical editor Kira Pace and educator Lori Fisher. This is KALW, San Francisco, the Bay Area and beyond. And it's got to be our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Damien. Welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely Saturday morning, and we do hope that we can be part of that lovely Saturday morning, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, what we're looking for is your participation. We'd love to hear from you, and this is a great time to call in with your special question or perhaps to answer one of ours. Anyway, get in queue, and we're going to talk to you soon, I'm sure. Those numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. So give us a call as soon as you can. We have some lines open right now. Also want to remind you, for those who may be too shy, although it's probably not the case, or just want to use email to contact us, you can do that using our email address. That is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one. MindsOverMatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at kalw.org. And of course, the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time after our program today for those who listen that way. And that will also be at kalw.org and many other places, but start with KALW. That would always be appreciated. Anyway, that's sort of the stats about us. And we're going to begin with a round of introductions and then a round of questions, and we will momentarily get to that. And here it is. Okay. Kira Pace has no new awards to report this week, but only because she neither earned nor demanded one, but never stopped anybody, I guess.
Oh. It didn't stop some. Apparently raised by wolves, Lori Fisher both started and ended his advent calendaring last Monday by consuming all 24 pieces of chocolate. He hopes to get a pass so he can start again on Hanukkah.
And speaking of Hanukkah, our moderator Dana Rodriguez has heard that you can be any religion and still receive gifts for Hanukkah. Just thought it was worth mentioning. As long as you don't eat tater tots as your latkes, I think you'll be okay.
Tater tots is fine. And,
no,
you know,
it's not.
Socks or, yeah, whatever the purpose.
It's not. Anyway.
All right. So that is us, and we're getting the questioning with Kira Pace.
All right. I've got a few lead-in questions for you before I get to my list question. First of all, what is the name of the international award established in 1979 that is given annually to honor a living architect or architects whose built work demonstrates a combination of talent and commitment? Sorry, talent, vision, and commitment.
The Pritzker Prize, isn't it?
It is the Pritzker.
And that Frank Gehry, it was in the paper because Gehry had won
right.
It. Yeah.
In what year did Frank Gehry win this award?
Was it after the Guggenheim and Balbale? Was that what he won it for?
You typically win it for
lifetime thing.
Yeah.
Don't know which year specifically.
Okay. Well, someone might know. And in 2025, who became the most recent winner of the prize of the Pritzker?
No.
Someone super well known?
To somebody, I'm sure. leave that out.
Wait, and was it Robert Stern?
No, it wasn't.
Okay. And can you win it more than once?
No.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the name of a building, and for each building, I want you to give me the architect or architects who designed it. So get ready to write.
Are these here. All Pritzker Prize winners?
No, not all of them.
Okay, all right.
So the first is the National Gallery of Art East Building in Washington, D.C. National Gallery of Art East Building. Number two is the Cathedral of Brasilia. The third is the London Aquatics Center. That's the one that was built for the 2012 Olympics, London Aquatics Center. The next is the Wainwright Building in St. Louis. St. Louis's Wainwright Building. The fifth is the National Museum of African American History and Culture, also in Washington, D.C. Number six is the Empire State Building.
Wow.
Number seven, the Guggenheim Museum in New York. Number eight is Wayfarers Chapel in Rancho Palos Verdes, also known as the Swedenborgian Museum down in Southern California. And finally, the Stahl House, case study house number 22 in the Hollywood Hills. So once again, the list, National Gallery of Art East Building, Washington, D.C. The Cathedral of Brasilia in Brasilia, Brazil. The London Aquatics Center, built for the 2012 Olympics. The Wainwright Building in St. Louis. The National Museum of African American History and Culture, also in Washington, D.C. The Empire State Building. The Guggenheim Museum in New York. The Wayfarer Chapel in Rancho Palos Verdes, in Southern California. And finally, the Stahl House, case study house number 22 in the Hollywood Hills.
Ooh. Well, I try
not to go with like just the standard glass house.
I have one guess. I think the Guggenheim in New York was Frank Lloyd Wright, but I'm not even sure about that. Okay.
No, you're correct. It is right. Frank Lloyd Wright.
I want the first bell. Didn't hear the bell. Was it there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear that?
Beautiful. That was great. Okay. Dana, you get the rest.
Oh, okay. That was it for you? All right.
I have an obscure guess, but not much more.
Well, most of the prominent buildings in Brasilia were built by Niemeyer. So I assume the cathedral is probably one of them, right?
That is correct. Yeah. Modernist architect Oscar Niemeyer, who built many of the cities of the planned community or the planned city of Brazil. Brasilia, sorry.
And I've been in the Wainwright Building and read about it, so I know that. That's Louis Sullivan.
Sullivan and Adler. Right. But yes, I will give that to you for Louis Sullivan.
I don't know the National Gallery of Art.
Who did the Empire State Building? Do you know that?
I should know that.
Yeah. That was like 1933-ish?
No, it's 31.
Okay.
No, I can't think of that at the moment.
Me neither.
No.
Right. So the outstanding questions then for the audience are, in what year did Frank Gehry win the Pritzker Architecture Prize? In 2025, who became the most recent winner of the Pritzker Prize? And for each of these buildings, please give me the architect who designed it. And the ones we have left are the National Gallery of Art East Building, the London Aquatic Center, built for the 2012 Olympics, the National Museum of African American History and Culture at the Smithsonian in DC, the Empire State Building, the Wayfarers Chapel in Rancho Palos Verdes, California, also known as the Swedenborgian Museum, and the Stahl House, case study house number 22 in the Hollywood Hills.
Dana, did Robert Stern, because he died this week or last week too, did he design one of those, do you know?
I don't, he may have, but I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
All right.
I'll put you out of your misery. He did not. Not this.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay.
I'm no longer miserable. Thank you.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hi.
Hi. My question is, in the movie All About Eve, what did Marilyn Monroe say about the producer character?
Says, why do they always have to look like... Oh, nappy rabbits. Is that it?
Hey, yes,
that...
yes, yes.
Oh, nice.
And then she said that's because they are. She's told that's why that's because what they are is now are nappy rabbits.
That's why they always look like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Sure. Bye.
All right. Thank you for your old movie questions. All right, Lori, go ahead.
All right. Well, you probably saw that, I think this week, that MSNBC changed its name to MS Now. And in 20 years, that will be a trivia question. So that's what I'm leading to. I'm going to give you the original names of six really well-known corporations or companies. You tell me the name we know them by. Number one is The Sound of Music. Number two is Blue Ribbon Sports. Number three is Confinity. Number four is Jerry and David's Guide to the World Wide Web. Number five is Kadabra. And number six is Lucky Gold Star. So these are the original names, and I think most of them were their official names, at least when they were creating the company, of companies we know better by the name you're going to give me. Sound of Music, Blue Ribbon Sports, Confinity, Jerry and David's Guide to the World Wide Web, Kadabra, and Lucky Gold Star. I'll give you one correct answer each or something like that.
Kira, go ahead.
I'm so mad. I know Kadabra, and I'm going to get the wrong one. Is that Amazon?
It is Amazon.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay.
All right. Nice work. Dana, what do you got?
I think Lucky Gold Star is just LG now.
It is. That whole, I was wondering what LG always was, and it's Lucky Gold Star is correct. Okay. Between you, if you get one more between you, we'll do that.
Well, is Blue Ribbon Sports, is that just ESPN?
Yeah, no, that's the one I was, not ESPN, that's a sports company. Nike, I think.
It is Nike. Blue Ribbon Sports became Nike. It was originally named for the beer, and then they became serious. Okay, so we'll leave the other three out there. Sound of Music, Confinity, and Jerry and David's Guide to the World Wide Web. Sounds like a goofy movie. Good work, guys.
All right, good job. And if you want to give us a call, I think we have a couple of lines open. Please give us a call at area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Again, this is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We would love to hear from you. So give us a call. Lori, it's your turn.
I had my turn. I was the Blue Ribbon Sports. Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'm not paying attention.
How easily they forget. Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you a couple of questions. Humphrey Bogart made only two films in which his character's name is in the title. Only two films did Humphrey Bogart make in which his character's name is in the title of the film. So, see if you can come up with at least one of those.
He's not the African Queen, right?
No, he's not the African Queen. That's not Catherine Hepburn either.
I know.
So again, Humphrey Bogart made only two films with his character's name in the title of the film. All right. Now, I don't think I've asked this, but if I did, call me on it and tell me. What are the two best-selling fiction books of all time with an apostrophe in the title? What are the two best-selling fiction books of all time with an apostrophe in the title?
Well,
one has sold 120 million and the other has sold 50 million.
So these are big blockbuster hits, right?
Yes.
Would you say they're literary or more like best-selling thriller? Because I think Salem's Lot might be in there. Is it one of them?
It's not Salem's Lot. And I would say it's a combination of successful literary and more popular stuff. Well, obviously they're popular, but
Carol,
it's clearly Lolita's apostrophe.
Yeah, no, of course they don't. She didn't have any sisters.
Lolita's sister. Okay, this is going to be
The two best-selling fiction books of all time with an apostrophe in the title.
Are they 21st century? Can you tell us that?
Neither one are 21st century, as far as I know.
Okay.
It's 20th century, definitely.
And they both were written in English, correct?
Yes, they are.
Okay. What about Finnegan's Wake?
That's a good guess, but no, not Finnegan's Wake.
And never a bestseller, I don't think.
Yeah, I
I believe it's probably true. Many students have had to buy it over the year. I'm sure it's plumped its numbers.
I think it was once voted the least read, well-known novel. I think everybody read about the first.
All right, I will give you one more question here. I have a list of the 7 largest cities in the United States named after people who never set foot in the United States. The 7 largest cities in the United States that were named after people who never set foot in the continental U.S. And there are no saints. There are no cities with saints in there, so don't forget about those.
What about Columbus, Ohio?
All right, yes, that is nice. Columbus, Ohio is one. Thank you for barely letting me finish that question. Yes, Columbus, Ohio is one. Good job.
And we're looking for 7, 6 more?
Yeah, I'll give you, she had her guess, and now your guess is there.
Oh.
Wait, I didn't have my guess. I had my new.
Yeah. Are there other Columbuses? No, probably not.
Well, remember, these are the 7 largest cities that are...
Are you weighing whether Columbia, South Carolina is...
Wouldn't be it, no.
Yeah.
Okay. While you're thinking about that, I'm just going to run through the
question. Let me ask one clarification. Yeah. Might they have set foot in this area before we became the United States?
No, they never set foot anywhere in the United States.
Okay. So Samuel Austin would not be one of them because he did.
Oh, yes. Samuel Austin lived in the United States.
Yeah,
so.
Yes. All right. We're thinking.
All right. So once more, Humphrey Bogart made only 2 films in which his character's name is in the title. Give me both of those if you can. What are the 2 best-selling fiction books of all time with an apostrophe in the title? So, and we know it's not Finnegan's Wake. And what are the 7 largest cities in the United States that are named after people who never set foot in the continental United States? And I'm not including any saints in that list. So no San Diego or
How about Rosemary's Baby on the apostrophe? Ooh.
Oh, that's a good guess. But no, that was not in the. That was the one, one of the.
It didn't say it had the apostrophe.
Best-selling books of all time.
Yeah, it had the apostrophe, but not enough sales. Okay. Yeah.
And what about Gulliver's Travels?
That's also an excellent guess.
Sold a bunch.
I don't think that has an apostrophe, actually.
No. Just two Gullivers went to traveling.
It's pretty far up there, though. But it's not it.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it sold 100 million copies, even given its. Mm-hmm. I think he said both of them were 20th century. Is that correct?
Both of them, yes, are 20th century.
So Gulliver's out either way.
Hmm.
You're going for the classic literature. I'm going for potboilers. Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hi, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
Okay, put me out of my misery and answer this question. Maggie Simpson went to preschool. What was the name of her preschool in The Simpsons?
Oh,
the Ayn Rand. Oh, it's the Ayn Rand something for something babies. It's a very stark, brutal name, but it's the Ayn Rand something or another.
I'll give you a bell. Can you give her a bell? Okay. Ayn Rand School for Tots.
Oh, is it just School for Tots? I thought it was something a little more long and descriptive and brutal.
School for Tots. And one of the slogans hanging up in the preschool is helping is futile. So here are my questions. Well, first of all, I have an answer. Yahoo. Right, Laura?
Say it
Jerry
again.
And David's Guide to the World Wide Web.
What is it?
Yahoo.
Yahoo is correct, Fred from West Virginia. Where'd you go?
Yahoo.
Nice.
Yeah, well, it's named after the soft drink, I think. Okay.
Maybe.
So I have before me a list of the shortest nominated performances in Oscar history. I feel you movie people should know this, okay? First of all, what is the shortest nominated performance for Best Actor?
Well, that's
Came
Silence.
In at 15 minutes.
It's Silence of the Lambs, right?
No, that didn't win for the shortest nomination performance.
Right, so this is this is not a winner necessarily, it's a nominated, right?
No, this did not win.
Okay.
Famous. It is a famous movie.
Can you
with a very famous song?
I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll give you the year 1936
for Best Actor. So Dana.
Yeah.
15 Dana, minutes.
Best Actor. 15-minute performance nomination. There's a very famous song that you may know that was sung 8 times by Janet McDonald.
Oh. 36. Who was nominated for Best Actor in 1936?
Okay. I'll give you the movie.
Oh, is it San Francisco? Is it Clark? Go ahead.
Oh, is it Spencer Tracy?
Exactly. Very good. I thought this was a very obscure question. 15 minutes screen time for San Francisco. And the song San Francisco was sung 8 times. Okay, and how about this? The shortest nominated performance for Best Supporting Actor. Best Supporting Actor. At 6 minutes.
Is that the 1930s too, may I ask?
1976. A six-minute performance was so good, it got him an Oscar nomination. He should have won, but he didn't. 1976.
Is this a Godfather?
No.
What kind of film is it, may I ask?
All right. I'll give you the actor. You give me the movie. How's that? Ned Beatty.
Oh, from Network?
Network, a six-minute performance. And strangely, the shortest nominated performance for a supporting actress. There's two films with the same winner. They were different films. Am I saying this correctly? They were different films. She won two nominations for among the 10 shortest performances. The same actress. One was a five-minute performance, and the other was an eight-minute performance.
Was she in Network as well?
No.
Was this Thelma Ritter by any chance?
No. Okay, I'll give you the years. 1969 and 1975. Nominations for Best Supporting Actress. One was 5 minutes, the other was 8 minutes.
1969.
Okay, here's the films. Here's the songs. Midnight Cowboy and Farewell, My Lovely.
Oh, Sylvia Miles. Yeah, Sylvia Miles.
Sylvia Miles, exactly. Yeah.
You're a big Sylvia Miles fan. You called about her before.
You can always win with the answer, Sylvia Miles. Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. That's with a question or answer. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. I should say at this point that our panel, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, and Lori Fisher teaches at Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Daniel Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, I'm on. For the apostrophe book, Gravity's Rainbow.
Oh, that's an excellent guess. But I don't think Gravity's Rainbow ever sold in the over 100 million. So, yeah.
Okay.
That doesn't mean it doesn't deserve it, but.
Should be mentioned, though, the apostrophe, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Try you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, so. And in the meantime, Kira, I think it's your turn again.
Okay. Actually, I have a guess, because I'm not actually sure if there's an apostrophe, but is there one in that first Harry Potter book, Philosopher's Stone / Sorcerer's Stone, or is it not apostrophe?
It is an apostrophe, and you are right.
Yes. What's the whole title?
Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Nice.
That is the 120 million selling. There we go. Good job.
Good go, Kara.
All right. A kangaroo word is a word that contains all the letters of one of its synonyms or constituents. And these letters may not be consecutive, but they are in order. For example, the word precipitation includes the letters R-A-I-N in that order, and rain is a type of precipitation. So here we can refer to rain as the Joey word. I'm going to give you some kangaroo words, and I want you to tell me their Joey words. So here...
How many will there be?
Let's do five.
Okay.
The first is chocolate.
With a plural?
No.
Oh, chocolate. Okay.
Number two is eradicated. Eradicated. Number three is insignia. Number four is unsightly. And number five is effect. With an A. Okay. So chocolate, eradicated, insignia, unsightly, and effect with an A. What are their Joey words?
So I think unsightly must be ugly.
Unsightly is ugly. That's okay. Correct.
What do you got, Dana?
Chocolate is, can you do just chocolate as in coca? Is that?
Cocoa. Yes. Yes. Coca's a little different. It's a slightly different substance.
Sorry about that. And then insignia, isn't that sign?
Insignia is indeed sign.
Ooh. And it's right there, all in order next to each other.
Yeah. Yes.
And so, I have eradicated. It looks like I can get ridded out of there.
Do I get or just rid. Yeah. D-I, it goes D-I, so you can do ridded. But rid is just fine, and also the answer. So the one we have left for the audience is effect with an A. Effect is a kangaroo word, and I want its Joey word.
Okay. That's for everybody. There we go.
Good question.
All right. Thank you very much, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. This is Ed. So I'm going to ask you two questions. I'll be very quick. One in my field, spent 14 years at UC Berkeley in nuclear engineering as a grad student, PhD, and also taught there for many years. What is the trigger mechanism into hydrogen bomb?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite get your question. Would you ask that one?
Trigger mechanism in a hydrogen bomb.
Trigger mechanism, okay.
Trigger. How do you ignite a hydrogen bomb? Now we know about little boy and fat man. This was atom bomb. Because both of them are actually nuclear. Both of them are nuclear, but just the terminology. So let's back a little bit. Little boy, what city did drop on in Japan?
That's
1945.
That's Nagasaki?
Yes. Little boy was Hiroshima. How about
Fat
Man? How about Fat Man?
That was Nagasaki.
Nagasaki. So the fuel, what's the fuel they used in a little boy in Hiroshima? Was it uranium or plutonium? Choose one, it's very easy.
I'll choose uranium.
You're right. Uranium 235.
Lucky guess.
How about Nagasaki? How about Nagasaki? What fuel do? Another one. I will tell you because the time is short. Plutonium 239. And these bombs are toys compared to what we have now. So what is the trigger mechanism? And, you know, Russia has the biggest hydrogen bomb in the world. It's 50 megaton. Little boy was 15 kiloton of TNT, and fat man was 20 kiloton, and both of them killed over 100,000 people, really pretty much very quickly. So we're talking about thousands of times powerful. Okay, so what is the trigger mechanism into a hydrogen bomb, the megaton ones, the bigger ones?
No, I don't think we know.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, all right. The trigger mechanism in a hydrogen bomb is an atom bomb, believe it or not. You have to explode an atom bomb to heat which the fuels, either hydrogen, lithium, or the hydrogen they use, heavy hydrogen, which is called deuterium or tritium. All right, that's a beautiful, beautiful subject. All right. So I'll be very quick. So if we have one of those, like the Russian calls it bomb czar out of all things, 50 megaton of TNT. We're in big trouble. Second thing, very, very quick question about how many of you were in 1987 earthquake in San Francisco Bay Area? Any of you were?
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody? Of course I was. Yeah. I was walking in University Avenue in Berkeley. It looked like an ocean. The street had waves in it. And that was only 6.9 magnitude earthquake. You know, a few weeks ago, they had 8 point something in Philippines. They had, by the way, every magnitude, it increased the power by 30 times. Okay, so this, what is the deadliest earthquake in history, in human history, deadliest one? Over 1.1 million people were killed in that earthquake.
Oh, I don't know. Wasn't that one in China, I believe, or India? China.
The one in China killed 500,000. That one even killed was the worst. 1.1 million people plus were killed. What country? My favorite.
Egypt.
Egypt. 1201 AD. 1201 AD. Over 1 million Egyptians died. 1.1, the statistics say, from that earthquake. It also affected the whole region, Syria, and so on.
All right, we have to wrap it up because we're on the half hour.
Let me just say the reason for that. Because Egyptians used Masonic, they used concrete, they used real modern building, where most other countries in the world are living in primitive homes. Thank you very much. Always good show. And everybody, thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter, if you still are. And we are here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show and hope you give us a call. Those numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. We're on a little past half hour. Let's quickly go through the questions we have. Kira, let's start with you.
Okay. I want to know, in what year did Frank Gehry win the Pritzker Architecture Prize? In 2025, who became the most recent winner of the Pritzker Prize? And who are the architects credited with designing these buildings? I still have the National Gallery of Art East Building in Washington, D.C., the London Aquatics Center, part of the 2012, or built for the 2012 Olympics, the National Museum of African American History and Culture, also in Washington, D.C., the Empire State Building, the Wayfarers Chapel in Rancho Palos Verdes down in Southern California, and the Stahl House, Case Study House number 22 in the Hollywood Hills. Also, I've given you a list of kangaroo words, and I want the Joey word. The one we have left is effect with an A, looking for its Joey word.
I'm looking for the companies that started life with these names. We have two left. The Sound of Music is one of them, and Tenfinity is the other. And that's all I have out there.
Okay. And Humphrey Bogart made only two films in which his character's name is in the title. What are those two films? And what are the two best-selling fiction books of all time with an apostrophe in the title? Kira got Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. That is the best-selling book of all time. With an apostrophe, what is the second one on that list? And I'm looking for the seven largest cities in the United States, the continental United States, named after people who never set foot in the continental United States, and no saints. I eliminated the saints.
What about Cincinnati for that one?
Cincinnati is on that list. Yes. Yeah, so we have Columbus, Ohio, and Cincinnati, named after Cincinnatus, the Roman general. And very good.
Columbus, I appreciate all the OhioCon you've got going today.
Yeah.
I feel like you may have been influenced.
It's because well, of big, you know, he loves because of the big football game today or something. Yeah.
Well, that he doesn't care about. okay. So I think that's it for me. And also, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is it I?
It is you.
Ah, this is Sacramento Slim.
Hey, good to hear from you.
Great. I've got one reasonably long question and one very short one. The long one is, how far is Voyager 1 from Earth?
It's like an it's a light day, right? It reached the light day.
Very good.
Wow.
Yes. Almost a light day, 15.8 billion miles.
That's cool.
Okay, that was the long one. Here's the short one. And I think this may have been done recently, but I mean in the last few years.
I wish the you largest... would pass along your definition of long and short questions to some of our callers.
No comment. Speaking of state capitals, what is the largest state capital and what is the smallest state capital in population?
In population, that's what you're asking, correct?
Yes, yes, population.
Okay. Well, I think Phoenix is probably the largest.
You are so correct. It is more than 1.5 times larger than next, which is Austin. And the smallest?
Montpelier, Vermont.
Correct. Again,
nice.
That was my short question. 8,000 people. I think I lived in town smaller than that in West Texas. Okay.
And I happen to know something. I happen to know something about Sacramento Slim. Today is his wedding anniversary, and I want to wish him a happy anniversary. Oh,
happy anniversary.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary. Well, how many years have you been married?
How many years?
67.
67.
Holy.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Way to go,
I don't think any one of you is that even that old, are you?
We refuse to say. Okay.
Damien is not. Okay. I might be.
You might be. Okay. Good show. You guys are so sharp tonight or today. This is daytime. Okay. Thanks for taking the call. Bye bye.
Thank you, Slim. Appreciate your call. Bye bye. And you're listening to Minds of Matter. I hope you're enjoying the show. Once more, you can give us a call at 415-841-4134. We're toll free, 866-798-8255. And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. Well, last week or the week before, the San Francisco Chronicle, there's a rating system for road conditions all in every city in the Bay Area and all 9 counties. I can tell you at the top, our cities are Larkspur, Palo Alto, and Orinda. What are the four cities in the Bay Area that are considered to have the worst road conditions based on repairs, potholes, and the like?
Well, I drive through Little Detroit every day, so I will say Oakland is one.
Oakland is not one. It's not even in the bottom 10.
There's worse than Oakland?
Worse than Oakland, yes.
San Francisco itself is no picnic.
There's a lot of them that are no picnics, but apparently, well, it's not in the bottom 10 either.
All right.
So how do they characterize it again?
Well, they go around. What they do is have inspectors who do road inspection, and they said they look at all the things that would cause disruption. So they're looking for potholes. They're looking for repairs that need with buckling roads. I think those are the two main things that they look at. I don't think they look at things that are currently being repaired, but they're repairing, you know, obviously things that need reparations in the city. And in a big city, I have a feeling there's so many streets that are in good conditions that we only notice the bad one. These are relatively small Bay Area cities, I would say.
Well, I did see something on the news fairly recently about Vallejo. So is Vallejo one of them?
Vallejo is number one. It is at the very bottom of the list, a rating score of 44 out of 100. I'm not sure how they get that. Very good. All right, we're looking for three more near the bottom.
So is this by size of the pothole too?
You know, that's a good question. I would imagine that the big potholes get a higher rating than the little ones, the ones that, you know, hurt your tires when going over them. I don't know if that would help you get the answer.
And you said they're all smaller cities.
When we mentioned Oakland and San Francisco first, these are all like Vallejo, much smaller than that. There's one decent sized city, but two pretty small. And they at least one of them is near and dear to one of our hearts.
How is Pacifica, Kira?
I think Lori's about to say it's on the list, and that's crazy because the roads here are actually pretty decent.
Well, it's rated the numbers two worst. In fact, that's what I'm including it in the list. I thought you would have say something.
No, no, they're actually quite decent here. But right. I also spent a lot of time in the Sunset District of San Francisco. And so, yeah, I felt that it was a massive improvement. So I guess I'm just not driving where the terrible roads are because they've actually been quite lovely.
In Pacifica.
Yeah, okay. No complaints.
Well, I will send you the list and you can do a road test. But yeah, right. So the two lowest are Vallejo and Pacifica. We'll leave the other two out there. We have callers who might be listening.
Kier only drives on the rich people's roads.
I'm going to drive on Highway 1. It's actually pretty okay.
I don't think that counts as part of, you know, the Pacifica, you know, road condition. I'm not sure if they do the highways. But anyway, we'll dive into the details later. I'll send you the link to the information.
Wait till you drive on 880 every day, man. That's
brutal.
That's something. Okay. So anyway, so how many do we have on the list now? And how many?
I'm looking for two more. We have Vallejo and Pacifica, which are two at the bottom. And there's two, well, there's many more right above them, but I'm looking for two more. One's a pretty decent sized city. I'll give you the county. It's in Sonoma County, and one is in San Mateo County.
Sonoma.
Yeah.
Oh, is it Petaluma?
It is.
Yeah, Petalumas are pretty rough.
Yeah, that's just above Pacifica on the bottom of the list. So let's leave the last one out there. We'll get a caller on that one.
All right. Okay.
Very good.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. It's good morning. Bill in El Cerrito.
Hey, Bo.
Hello. Let's see. Let me start with a few guesses. Lori, did The Sound of Music become RCA?
It did not. It's a really good guess. I think Vitaphone or something was earlier, but not RCA, no.
His master's voice, HMV.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going to. Yeah. Let's see. Dana, was Bogart in a film that had a character named something, O'Malley, something like that?
He was in a film called The Great O'Malley, but he did not play The Great O'Malley. That was Pat O'Brien. Could be what you're thinking of? I don't know.
That could be it. That could be it. Okay. And then also, Dana, for the seven largest cities named after people never in the United States, what about Raleigh, North Carolina?
That's a great guess, but that is not one of the seven largest cities.
Oh, good guess.
Okay. And Kira,
Raleigh was in the continental United States, it wasn't the United States then, but he was in the continental U.S.
Oh, he was. Okay.
So we can't use that.
All right. And Kira, is your Joey word for effect act?
It is. Nice job.
Good job.
Okay. Very good. All right. I have a couple of questions following on from from a question that Kira had last week. So how many federally recognized Native American tribes are there currently?
Oh, God. Has this changed recently, like very, very recently?
Like under Trump?
Well, this is just the number that are... You know, these numbers change every once in a while because tribes are constantly petitioning to be recognized and so on and so forth. But if you can get in the ballpark, you know.
I don't even know what the ballpark is. What about 80?
Oh, far more.
Okay.
What about 3,000?
Less than that,
Dana, take over.
I mean, I know there are hundreds. I just don't know how many hundreds. So I'll say just 500. How about that?
Good guess. It's about 550. Okay, and then here's the follow-up. What are the five largest tribes currently based on full-blooded membership?
Well, I have to say probably Cherokee, right?
That's one of them.
Navajo
is one. Okay, so you got Navajo number one, Cherokee number two.
And Seminole, I think, should be on there.
No, they didn't
really?
Make it.
Okay.
But I will tell you that all of these are the ones and the only ones with membership of over 100,000.
Inuit?
No. No, the Inuit are not on there.
Oh, okay.
What do we have so far? Tier said
Cherokee? Navajo and Cherokee.
Yeah. And not Seminole.
How about the Sioux?
Number three.
Okay. What about Lakota? Oh, or Crow?
Similar, something that sounds a little like the Crow, but not the Crow.
Sounds like Crow.
Is it a bird?
No, it's not a bird. Sorry, I shouldn't have misled you.
Are these more East Coast or West Coast, would you say, or Eastern United States or Western United States?
I would say they're more Northern and Central.
Right, but not Lakota?
Well, the Lakota fall under the Sioux.
Oh, okay.
Who's the one? Ojibwe or Chippewa, maybe?
Okay.
Chippewa, I guess.
Not the Chippewa, but the tribe name does begin with the same two letters.
Chippewa. Choctaw.
Yes, that's number four.
All right. Okay.
Oh, I didn't think Choctaw was actually that big anymore, or like that large. I didn't realize they had the numbers.
Because you said it began with the same two letters. So that's
sure.
I don't think I can go any.
Okay, and I'll tell you, the last one was famous in a lot of Western films.
Sioux, we said
the,
Sioux.
The Utes?
No.
Apache?
Yes.
Nice. That's good.
Yes, good job. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. And I'll add my congratulations to Sacramento Slim for his anniversary.
Very nice. He'll appreciate that. Yeah.
Yes, right. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you later.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dana, did Humphrey Bogart play somebody named Mr. Skeffington? Was that in the title?
No, that was Claude Rains.
Yeah.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We have a few minutes left, and we'd love to talk to you if you're inclined. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. All right, I'll give you a quick question here. The story of the Sorcerer's Apprentice began as a poem with 14 stanzas by what famous author? The story of the Sorcerer's Apprentice began as a poem. We all know it from Disney's Fantasia and from the piece of music by Paul Dukas. The story of the Sorcerer's Apprentice began as a poem in 14 stanzas by what famous author?
What nationality is the author?
He is German.
What do you got, Kara?
I have nothing.
All right, leave that out.
And can you tell us the century that the Sorcerer's Apprentice poem was written? Or that
I believe it was the early 19th century.
Goethe.
You're right.
There you go. Nice work.
And how many early 19th century German poets can you name, Kara?
Goethe.
There you go.
Goethe.
All right. Yes, by process of elimination, Kara got them.
She nailed it.
Good job. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter from Florida.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, Kira,
yes.
What wrong answer did you give today that was the right answer to a question that you have out there?
Ooh.
None.
I gave a wrong answer?
No. I didn't give a wrong answer. It's a right answer
yes,
that I have out.
What?
Seminole. You said Seminole.
Silence of the
Lambs.
And that's the answer to the Empire State Building.
All right. That is true. That's Shreve, Lamb, and Harmon. So William F. Lamb, Empire State Building.
Isn't that funny? You gave the wrong answer. That way there was the right answer to Anyway, so that he was only one architect, Empire State Building?
No, that's
Shreve, Lamb, and Loomis.
Right.
Okay, because I remember. Yeah, I remember that from New York City Observer. Empire State Building, Lamb was the word. The only one that's stuck in my memory. Okay, quick questions for you. Are you ready? These are short expressions that are really part of a longer expressions that often have the opposite meaning. Okay, you ready? Turn the other cheek. What's the real longer expression that actually has a different meaning?
I don't think I understand. Karen, you got it, Dana?
I guess he's looking for the full Bible quote, but...
Yeah, the full Bible quote, which means something very different than turn the other cheek.
Hmm. So you want us to recite the full Bible quote?
Go ahead, Lord.
Well, if you can.
I think what you're getting at is that you are not supposed to, when somebody attacks you, you're not supposed to... give them a second opportunity to do so.
Right.
Or turn the other cheek. You can say turn the cheek. It's like just let it roll off your back. In fact, it says if a man slaps you on the left cheek, offer your right. That's what the Bible says, which is saying, which because I took a course on this. A man, if he slaps you on the left cheek, assuming it's a right-handed man, offer your right, then he would have to slap you with the back of his hand like a woman. So it's a complex little analysis of that. You know what I mean? Anyway, so my next question is, the other one is, blood is thicker than water. What is the real quote? See, blood is thicker than water means family relationships are strong, whatever. It's the opposite. What's the real quote?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
The blood of battle is thicker than the water of the womb. See, the blood of battle, that those things that you fight for with other people are stronger bonds than you have with your family. It's the opposite. Okay, here's another one. Proof is in the pudding.
Well, it's supposed to be the proof is in the tasting or eating of the pudding, right?
Yes, that's right. Proof is in the pudding. If you say this doesn't taste good, they say, of course it is. I followed all the instructions. I bought the expensive ingredients. And that's why you say, no, the proof isn't in the pudding. The proof of the pudding is in the tasting. You see?
Correct.
And when that expression was whittled down, it actually has kind of the opposite meaning. The proof isn't in the pudding. The proof of the pudding is in the eating.
Here we go.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We have a few minutes left in the show. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Well, hi there, guys. It's Danny and Sondra in sunny
Albany.
Hey,
Danny.
Hi,
Sondra. Hey, hiya. Hey, we're back.
Hello.
I got a kangaroo word in eradicated. I can get edited out of eradicated. Does edited
nice.
Count?
Yeah.
Edit doesn't necessarily mean to redact, but I suppose in some versions of edit, that's true.
As an editor, you have say over that as an editor.
Oh, be beneficent. Yes.
Thank you. I'm a recovering editor. Did we get all of the apostrophe? You said there were two.
Yes, there were two. No, we only have one.
Would one be Portnoy's complaint?
Ooh.
Ooh, good guess. But
good apostrophe, too. Yeah.
This is a book for younger people.
All right.
Okay, well, I'll think about that while Danny asks his question.
Oh, how about somebody's purple crayon? What was it?
Harold? No,
that's it. Okay, no, that's not. All right. The Humphrey Bogart, they're killing me because I'm a Humphrey Bogart freak. But I don't think he was Dr. Clitterhouse, and I don't think he was Dr. X in those movies.
Yes, he was Dr. X.
It was Dr. X! All right, that's a terrible movie, by the way. Don't
yeah, please terrible. Know it.
Do we have anything else?
No. I don't think so. Oh, hey, nice bell.
Hey, speaking of bells, since bells have come up in conversation often in recent weeks. Who's the only actor to star in two well-known movies with Bell in the title?
The only actor you can think of.
I can think of. Dooley.
So is For Whom the Bell Tolls one of the movies?
Why, yes, it is.
Okay.
Gary Cooper and...
the other movie is feels like,
is that movies. The Bell for Adama or something like
Adama?
That?
No, he's not in that, unfortunately.
It's the only other Bell movie I can think of that is older.
I was going to say Bells Are Ringing with Dean Martin, but
I said
Gary Cooper.
I said actor, and that was I led you astray gender wise.
Oh, so it's an Ingrid Bergman. She was in For Whom the Bell Tolls.
She was.
And Dana, what's a Bell movie?
Oh, The Bells of St. Mary's.
That's it.
And she was in Bells of St. Mary's. Yeah. That's right.
Yes. We seem to have lost our bell, or we would give you a bell.
That's right.
Ding.
There we go.
Yes, there you go.
Our bell is back. Thank you.
It went walkabout there for a few weeks. But while we're on bells, what movie with Bell in the title starred singers who had turned actors?
So Bell's in the title, singer turned actor. So could I use Dean Martin there?
Yeah, you said it. Bells Are Ringing.
Bells Are Ringing.
Oh,
crap. All right, that's great. Good. That's the third one of my group of two here. Excellent.
And Frank Sinatra did one of Frank Sinatra and Frederick Murray did one.
Miracle of the Bells.
Miracle of the Bells.
You were close enough. And then, of course, we've already had the Bells of St. Mary's with old Bingle.
Bingle.
So, all right, that's all we got.
Well, thanks very much.
You bet.
Guys, we're going to have to miss you for the next few weeks. We'll be away, but we'll be listening to the podcast. Thinking of you.
You can call from afar. There's phones to bring your phone.
Yeah, you can send us emails.
We'll look
forward to them.
We'll be very
good. All right. Bye. Take care of yourselves. Have a good trip.
If they're not on, no show. That's what I say. Yeah.
Thanks, you guys. Take it easy. All right. We got to clean up here? Time to clean up? Okay, time to clean up. All right, Kira, what do we got?
All right. Frank Gehry won the Pritzker Architecture Prize in 1989. The most recent winner is Liu Jiakun of China. And let's see, the National Gallery of Art East Building, that is I.M. Pei, the London, who got a Pritzker in 1983. Cool. The London Aquatic Center from the 2012 Olympics, that is Zaha Hadid, who got one in 2004. The National Museum of African American History and Culture is David Ajay. The Wayfarers Chapel in Rancho Palos Verdes was Lloyd Wright, son of Frank Lloyd Wright. Man. And the Stahl House, Case Study House number 22, is Pierre Koenig. That's all I have.
All right. That's all you have? That's it. Let's see. I have, and the worst road conditions in the Bay Area. We got Vallejo, Pacific, and Petaluma. Number four at the bottom is Millbrae, pretty close by. And then The Sound of Music ultimately became Best Buy, and Confinity, of all things, became PayPal. No idea how that happened. And that's all I have for today.
All right. Humphrey Bogart made only two films in which his character's name is in the title. The Return of Dr. X, 1939, is one. Tokyo Joe, 1949, is the other. The two best-selling fiction books of all time with an apostrophe in the title, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, 120 million, and Charlotte's Web, 50 million.
Nice.
The seven largest cities in this country, no saints included, named after people who never set foot in the continental U.S. New York City, named after the Duke of York, James II, later James II. Charlotte, North Carolina, named after Queen Charlotte. Columbus, as you know, Ohio. Louisville, named after King Louis of France, Kentucky. Cincinnati, Ohio. Columbus, Georgia. Somebody mentioned it. I didn't mention it as a guess. Columbus, Georgia is one. And Charleston, South Carolina, named after Charles II. If we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We thank you for your listenership. Our panel, that was Kira Pace, technical editor. Lori Fisher teaches at Diablo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Damian Dean Miner for handling the board and phones and above. Thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We appreciate it very much. Have a great week, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.